Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He joins us now. Good afternoon, Stephen. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing so good. The Jets game was amazing. And you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this because you're watching the team in Oxnard and then seeing how many guys stepped up in that game off the bench. And the vibes are so good. I just think you really have something special with the leadership dynamics, like Shoddy plus Dak equals leadership gold.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that a minute. Obviously, Coach Schottenheimer is just doing an amazing job. I thought he went through hiring his coaching staff, which you can see now is paying off in spades. I thought the way he went through that was amazing. And, you know, hiring guys like Clayton and Connor on the offensive side of the ball, I don't want to get into names because I think I like every one of our coaches on our staff. But I agree with you. And then you throw Dak in the mix. He's always been the Pied Piper of this team. He's got amazing leadership skills. He's, you know, quite an amazing man off the field. But what a hell of a year he's having so far. And in order to lead at the end of the day as a player, you do have to be, you know, you have to be great as well. And that's the way Michael Irvin was. He was one of our great players, but also a leader. But there's no question those two guys are at the front of the line and making a huge difference in what this team's all about. And, you know, the main thing is just overcoming, you know, obstacles that, you know, teams go through. And not only are we doing it, we're doing it well.
Seems like some years you're hoping that one backup offensive lineman can step in there and be next man up legitimately. And last week it was four. What do you think allows that to happen?
I'll go back and start with coaching. I think, you know, these guys are just doing a great job of communicating and our guys understanding what we're trying to, you know, accomplish philosophically in that line, whether it's the run game, pass protection, whatever it is. You know, I just think between Clayton and Connor, they're just doing a great job of helping our guys understand. Now, you know, hats off to Will and our pro scouting staff and college scouting staff in terms of, you know, picking players who've got the skill set to get the job done. But there's no question. I mean, when not many teams can step up, especially in the offensive line where, you know, a lot of people look at it. A lot of guys take a lot of pride in being a unit, not just one guy here and one guy there, individuals, but a unit. And certainly to have four new guys step up and play at that level is great. Now, it also looks like we're getting ready to get guys back. So, you know, as they come back, we'll get them plugged back in and hopefully not miss a step.
Stephen, you mentioned that about the offensive line. You could maybe say that about your wide receiver crew as well, them stepping up here the last couple of weeks. And you're talking about getting guys back plugged in. How difficult are those situations when you're now dealing with 21-day windows, maybe having to make roster moves, and then you got guys that are backup guys that are playing pretty damn well for you?
Well, that's a good challenge to have. Usually it's the other way around. You got you know, you don't have enough good players to put on your 53. But we are having some challenges. But as you know, we activated the clock on Mingo and Carson and fully expect those two guys will ultimately make their way up. You know, unfortunately, you know, at the end of the day, attrition will get you. And sure. We just, you know, found out we're going to lose Sanders for the year, our running back. And, you know, these things have a way of spots opening up. And probably won't do Mingo this week. A good chance Carson may come up just to get him going. But that's just part of it. But it is great, as you said, to have guys like a Flournoy step up, a Tolbert step up, and knowing you got a guy like Mingo coming when you have injuries like we have with CD and Turp.
So, wow, thanks for that news. Miles Sanders out for the year. That's tough for him, but thank you for the news. How do you think the carries get picked up? Is it more Javonte? Is it more Jaden Blue?
Well, we're so fired up about what Jaden Blue can do for this offense. You know, he's got rare explosiveness. And you know, we've just – and I know Coach Schottenheimer and his offensive staff are going to certainly continue to figure out the best way to use him. But I think he's really going to bring something to this offense, you know, at the running back position that we hadn't had. And I think this can, as much as I respect and take a lot of Sanders, I think, at the end of the day, Blue can really bring something, some more juice to this offense, which you start talking about getting him and Terp and CD in the mix going forward, then, you know, an offense that's already doing pretty good has got a chance to just continue to get better.
Ed Werder has a cool story up today about how you guys identified Javonte Williams in the middle of last season and were really, you know, chomping at the bit to try to get him under contract. What else can you share with us about how that process went of identifying Javonte and why you guys made him such a priority?
Well, I think it's been well written, well reported, however you want to talk about it, that, you know, a lot of what goes into our grades, too, is what we thought about him coming out. And, you know, we had, you know, late first round, high second round type grades on Javonte coming out, and just you know, thought he was an outstanding football player. And then you roll the tape his rookie year, where I think he was in the running for rookie of the year. You know, as a running back, he had right at 1,000 yards, I think. And then, you know, had the unfortunate ACL, and certainly you know, at the running back position, you miss that year, and then sometimes you're just not the same guy coming back. And we just felt like there was a lot to him. And you go back and, you know, you do your research on what kind of man he is. And, you know, he's certainly a guy who's a professional, does everything the right way, and certainly the leader in that room. And I think Shotty got his hands around it early and often in training camp, you know, that this wasn't going to be a by committee. This was going to be, you know, his. You know, he was going to be the bell cow and have everybody else support him.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steven, it looked like you manufactured some pass rush last week. And it has to be very encouraging what you saw from your guys. And against a New York Jet offensive line that wasn't compromised, was intact, have some quality players, it had to make you guys feel much better about your situation when you saw that.
Well, this thing is a work in progress. We still have to get a lot better on the defensive side of the ball. I think Coach Schottenheimer, Coach Eberflus, you know, our top players and leadership on defense would tell you that, you know, the air is up for this group. And, you know, with the injuries we had early at the corner position, we were, you know, certainly trying to protect that as well as we could and probably, you know, compromise the defense some. But, you know, now with Bland and Diggs getting back and, as you said, I think people are understanding the concepts. And I think this defense is, you know, is only going to get better as the year goes. And we're going to get healthier and we should get better.
Steven, you could swat this away if you want to, but on my platforms that I've had a chance to talk about the team and stuff, I've kind of said I felt like that this team needs to prove to you and to Jerry whether you need to make a trade or not. If you find a way to put together some wins that, hey, well, wait, let's go try and finish this off. Let's try and push this forward. But if the team doesn't play well, maybe you would stand pat. Is that fair or am I way off base?
I think you're off base, Brian. I think only in the fact that we believe in this team. And if the right opportunity were there, sitting there today, to do something, then we would pull the trigger. We have that kind of confidence in our team and, you know, really like where we're headed right now. As you know, sometimes opportunities don't become available till other teams you know, I don't know. I guess I'll use the term until they're ready to mail it in and,
right.
you know, basically say, hey, we're out of this thing this year. And it's, you know, it's still the first third of the season. So we got a lot of football to play and a lot of teams are far from mailing it in. So they're not willing to, you know, part with somebody, you know, thinking, you know, it's probably not going to be our year this year. And so, you know, we're always looking for opportunity to just make this team better. And if we saw a great situation that would really improve it even more so, then we would be all over.
Love to hear that. It's Stephen Jones here with you on The Fan. What was your view of the bird seen around the world there from Jerry?
I don't comment on other people giving the bird. you need to ask the horse on that one. It needs to come from the horse's mouth. But I will say this. It wasn't venomous because everybody in the box was upbeat and fired up and grinning. And I don't think there was any rage in that particular finger, if there was one.
Yeah, seeing the replay, you were having a great time laughing and smiling at somebody. I was wondering if you saw Dad's bird and that cracked you up, or if it was something else.
No, I didn't see it. I was more listening to what was going on in the stands, and people are got some great antics. And, you know, at that point, there were mainly Cowboy fans, and, you know, everybody was certainly fired up. We love it when our Cowboy fans go out and support us in New York, and we had a lot of them there. And so anyway, a lot of great fun, you know, people pumped about the day, and that's why I'm saying it wasn't one of those venomous type birds. If there was one, it was one having some fun.
There you go.
Stephen, I was kind of wondering about that as you're sitting there. I mean, you guys do a really good job of just kind of just if people are going after you and stuff, you guys just kind of take it and move along. And I just wondered, like, I know because I've been on the sidelines for you, too, down there in those Giants games and stuff. I've turned around and yelled at fans, too, after one of those games. So I kind of understand when they get on you. I mean, you take it a lot better than I do.
When it's venomous, the best thing is look right over the top of them.
And, yeah, I needed to learn that from you. I never learned that. No.
If they think you're looking at them, then it just promotes more of the same.
Yeah.
Well, the winds of change are blowing in the division once again. Speaking of New York, Giants over Eagles in Thursday Night Football. What was your top takeaway?
Well, you know who I was probably rooting for. That goes without saying. But I guess my top takeaway was the Giants found them two really good offensive players and their quarterback and their running back. And I'm sure they're fired up about that, and they already had, you know, an impressive defensive front. So they're certainly, you know, a team that is going to be another team in the East. Like usual, when you have good organizations, they usually always figure out how to have a very competitive top-end football team. But certainly between Dard and Scadaboo, you have to respect both those guys and the way they're playing here the last three or four games.
So you think we get two Tylers back this week, and then what's going on with BB and Booker looking into the future? Will BB be activated in the window next week?
It may not be as early as next week on BB, but we do have another group of players who have a shot for next week. And BB's coming, and he's coming fast. And, you know, Turp and CD and Booker all had good weeks, so like I said, I mean, things are, you know, the air is up, and certainly one of the ones we all got our eye on is Overshown, too, and he's sure progressing in a great way as well.
Right on. We'll give him hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good weekend.
There he goes. Cheers. Stephen Jones with you here in the G-Back Nation on 105 through the...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.